are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world. Practical.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
I'm not a nigger. I'm a man. But if you think I'm a nigger, it means you leave.
And bring about the freedom of these people by any means necessary.
This is the Black Our Story podcast. Welcome to the Black Our Story podcast, a show dedicated to relearning the truth about black history, because without history, well, you just ain't black. That's not me, that's Joe Biden, but I am your host, Marquise, and we've got another good one for you today. The list from slavery to George Floyd, 401 years summed up in 60 historical facts connecting the very first slaves in 1619 in Jamestown, Virginia, to the death of George Floyd in 2020. Contrary to popular belief, history does not exist in a vacuum, and racism and discrimination does not need to be overt with white hoods, water hoses, vicious German shepherds for it to be real. Everything is connected, so this took a lot of research, a lot of fact-checking. a lot. But it was important, beyond important for me to get this right. And I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't proud about this one, because damn it, I am. But this is for those that, especially during these times, I've been seeing a lot, a gentleman in particular, but just been seeing a lot of people thinking that the conditions that we've been through historically, and that's America, but as well, particularly black people, are somehow over. So for the people that believe that we need to get over slavery because it was quote unquote a long time ago, but they never keep that same energy for the Confederate flag waivers whose heritage only lasted 5 years. This is for those that believe that the myth that black and brown people still don't face challenges, that it is a myth. Ironically, the same issues dealt to blacks were also imposed on poor white people and white women. But history won't tell you that because we never talk about classism in this country. For those who believe that because racism isn't so overt, riding through the night in white sheets, this is for those. And somehow for those who also believe that we are in a post-racist society because the number one answer survey says we had a black president. So we're going to get into it, man. Structural racism. Systemic racism is huge. It is a thing. It's still alive and well. Even if you take out every single racist person in that system, it is the system itself and the foundations that it's built on which drive those forces, and which we've seen for decades and decades and decades. So yeah, we've come a long way. I want to say that up front. We have definitely come a long way, but we've got so much further to go, and history can help us get there, understanding things that have happened in our past so we do not repeat those things like we've been doing. So let's get this thing going. 60 points from 1619 to 2020. Apologies for the length in advance. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you learned something. Let's kick it off with 1619 at number one. 20 Africans were brought from Angola to Jamestown, Virginia. Now it begins. Number two, 1640. Indentured servant John Punch is sentenced to a lifetime of slavery in Virginia for running away from a tobacco field. His children are also punished with that same status. Real quick side note, John Punch is actually a descendant of President Obama. Super random fact. The two white companions he ran away with were also indentured servants. They were only given extensions to their servitude, not lifetime sentences, just extended a few more years knocked onto the belt. This cites the very first recorded time in history that slavery is codified and it's legalized by the state. Number three, 1662, Virginia passes the hereditary slave law. Children will have the same status as their mothers. Now slavery becomes generational, and white slave owners are not legally responsible for children with slaves. Number four, 1705. Virginia slave codes define slaves as property and real estate. You could actually, put them on your taxes. Now they are officially no longer human. They are objects. Number five, 1712. New York forbids free slaves from owning property. And now you've stopped wealth. Number six, 1740. South Carolina passes the Negro Act, making it illegal for slaves to raise food, earn money, and learn English. Now you've created dependency, you've stopped income, and you ensured illiteracy. Number seven, 1775. 20 slaves grows to 37,000. The Revolutionary War begins, colonists versus the British, and looking for extra help and extra soldiers, the British declare that any slaves fighting for them will be freed. Now, this is relevant when we get to the quote-unquote national anthem. Number eight, 1776, Independence Day. The Declaration of Independence is signed. Fireworks. Ooh, dancing in the street. We talked about that in the last episode. Unfortunately, all men are not created equal. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is not for everyone. Really, it's just for white men with land. Poor whites and white women are also not included in the not created equal section. So now we have the founding of hegemony, classism, and white male privilege. Let me repeat this. There were 37,000 slaves watching those freedom fireworks. Just need to throw that out there again. Number nine, 1777. 1 year later, Vermont is the first state to abolish slavery. So shout out to Ben and Jerry's. They've been holding down the fight for a while. 10 years later, 44-year-old U.S. Ambassador to France, Thomas Jefferson, a widow, begins his relationship with Sally Hemings, his 14-year-old slave. They have six kids together, and black women are again used and seen as objects. Number 10, 1790, the first U.S. census. Out of 3.9 million people, 700,000 are slaves. 300,000 live around the Maryland, Virginia area, some of which are brought to Washington, D.C. to build Miomide, the White House, which is completed 10 years later in 1800. Fun fact, Benjamin Banneker, a free black man, actually helped with the architecture plans for that. Number 11, 1794, Eli Whitney invents the cotton gin, a machine which separated the cotton from its seed. So cotton production, because of this, cotton production and slave boom expand. Before, it would take one slave about 10 hours for 1 pound of cotton. Now, three slaves, because of the cotton gin, three slaves could handle 50 pounds of cotton in one day. So now the South has generated and guaranteed immense wealth. This is important in 70 years. Number 12, 1796. George and Martha Washington's favorite slave, Oney Judge, escapes. George uses his presidential powers and posts newspaper ads all around on Craigslist with a $10 reward for her return. $10 back then was $280 today. He never finds her, and she lives in hiding for the rest of her life. Number 13, 1814, slave owner Francis Scott Key writes the quote-unquote national anthem. We never sing or we never acknowledge it, but the third stanza is pretty damn racist. What it does is it laughs at the slaves who were killed trying to run to the British side for freedom. Remember when I told you that the British needed some additional help and that they would give freedom to the slaves if they came over to their side and fought? The third stanza calls that out. This is important 202 years later. Number 14, 1821. The American Colonization Society of Quakers, slaveholders, and politicians send free blacks to Liberia, Africa. The belief was that blacks and whites could never live together equally, and the few free black men that were around at the time would undermine the institution of slavery. They were right. Number 15, 1828. Thomas D. Rice makes blackface and Jumping Jim Crow minstrel shows famous. This is the birth of negative black stereotypes. Lazy, chicken and watermelons, big smiles, always happy. Oh, yes, sir, no, sir, shuffling. Blackface, relevant in 37 more years. 16, 1849, Henry Bott, this is one of my favorite stories, probably top three ever in slave history. Henry Box Brown, a slave from Louisa County, Virginia, paid $86 to get himself mailed in a box to Philadelphia for freedom. One of my favorite stories ever. It's exactly true. Henry Box Brown. Look it up, Google it, or go to my Instagram page, Black Hour Story. Read it. It's crazy. Anyway, 2 years later, Dr. Samuel Cartwright, a white guy, proclaims that drapetomania, yes, drapetomania, was the mental illness which made slaves escape, and that free blacks in the North suffered far more mental illnesses than their enslaved counterparts in the South. This is what's called scientific racism. One of the many things that goes into it included phrenology. You guys remember the Django scene when Leonardo DiCaprio holds up the skull? Well, that was a hint towards phrenology as well, where they tested skulls of different races, and they said the black skull was more akin to the monkey and the apes, and that's why we were more suited for servitude and we weren't humans. And anyway, it goes on and on. 3 years later, Frederick Douglass in 1852 asked, "What to the slave is the 4th of July?" Number 17, 1857, Dred Scott versus Sanford, the slave who sued for his freedom because he lived where slavery was illegal. He lost, and the Supreme Court decided 7-2 that blacks can never be human or citizens. This is relevant in 180 years. First black college, Lincoln University, was also founded in Pennsylvania. Number 18, 1860. Slavery makes the South one of the wealthiest places in the world, thanks to the cotton gin, remember we talked about that, and valued at over $4 billion. 75% of the world's cotton at this time came from the South. Abe Lincoln won the presidency in November of 1860. 11 states seceded from the U.S. and formed the Confederate States of America. That's where you get the Confederate flag from. Let me read you the Constitution that the Confederate States of America wrote. Article 1, Section 9 reads, when people like to talk about why what the flag means, it's heritage, it's not hate. Well, let me tell you that straight out of the Constitution's mouth, no bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law denying or impairing the right of property in Negro slaves shall be passed. Translation: slavery will never be illegal in the South, and we are willing to fight and die for it. Remember that when you see a Confederate flag and somebody likes to tell you that it's history and heritage, excuse me. And it only lasted 5 years. Number 19, 1861 to 1865, between 620,000 and 850,000 men fought and died in a civil war for slavery and not states' rights. Let me repeat, the Confederacy and the Confederate flag lasted 5 years. And we should get over slavery. Number 20, 1863, we got 40 left. Thank you for rocking with me. Lincoln signs the Emancipation Proclamation. Slavery ends on paper in the Confederate rebel states and frees on paper 3.5 million slaves. However, slavery still exists in very much real life in Texas, Kentucky, Maryland, Delaware, and Missouri. 21, 1865. Man, we just got done celebrating this in America for the first official time. Juneteenth officially frees 250,000 slaves in Texas and across the Confederate South. The 13th Amendment, here's the bad news though. The 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, quote unquote, officially, well, there was some fine print that allowed slavery to continue for prisoners, quote unquote, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, ding, 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 except as a punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted. Keep that in mind. Number 22, 1865, all the way to 1965, 100 years. So when you hear black people say slavery lasted for 400 years, technically it lasted 246 years, but we add on Jim Crow and the Black Codes era, which lasted 1865 to 1965. So that's an additional 100 years, equaling 346 years. And we round up for good measure because there was a lot of bullshit on the front and the back. Jim Crow begins. History books, your history books, call it the Reconstruction Era. That sounds a bit safer. Reconstruction meaning we've just come out of a civil war. We need to rebuild America. We need to reconstruct America. So they let all of the Confederates come back. Nobody got tried for treason. Nobody was really hung. Nobody was persecuted for that. They came back and they got their land back. Blacks never got their 40 acres and a mule. But that's why it's called the Reconstruction Era. They needed to rebuild again. Schools, public facilities, hospitals, records, transportation, housing, sports, and life all segregated. Legal barriers enacted to impede upward mobility for black people. This is relevant for the next 155 years. Number 23, 1866. The KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, those white-headed sheets, and one of my favorite scenes in Django, is created not in Indiana, as popularly assumed, created actually in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Actually, the first KKK was established in Pulaski, Tennessee, but the evil ones that we know of today were created in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Indiana gets in the mix because at its peak in the 1920s, they ran the entire state basically. And I went to college in Indiana. I can tell you they still float around. And that was just in 2004 to 2011. So 1860 lynching, fear, murder becomes encouraged throughout the South. The black codes were legalized by Southern states to keep blacks working for low wages or in debt. So restricted blacks from owning property, conducting business, buying or leasing land, which stopped wealth again. That loophole I just told you about, that was in the 13th Amendment. That part that says, except as punishment of crime. Bing, bing, bing. Well, that created the convict leasing system. This allowed criminals to go back into slavery, which created a system of arresting black men for basically anything. Anything. Over 90% of the Southern prison population, this is 1866, over 90% of the Southern prison population was black. This also becomes relevant in 105 years. Number 24, 1868. 14th Amendment guaranteed, quote unquote, all citizens, quote unquote, equal protection of the laws. This overturned that Dred Scott decision we talked about earlier, on paper, not in practice. 3 years after freedom, John Willis Menard became the first black elected official to Congress in Louisiana. Shout out to Louisiana. However, noticing the potential for black political efforts, voter suppression increased tremendously. 25, 1869, Howard University School of Law became the first black law school. First black labor convention gets held in D.C., and Menard became the first black person to ever give a speech to Congress. 26, 1870, 15th Amendment, quote unquote, the right of citizens of the U.S. to vote shall not be denied or abridged on account of race. On paper, not in practice. I'm going to keep saying this a lot. On paper, not in practice. I need you to understand that there was a KKK, and I need you to understand that there was voting suppression rights going on. If you can't read, you can't vote. Don't own land, you can't vote. Don't have a driver's license, which still happens today, you can't vote. Kentucky, everything going on in Kentucky and Mitch McConnell state and all those black counties. Still a thing. I just thought I'd let you know. 27. Let's keep the show rolling. 1875. Civil Rights Act of 1875, which affirmed the quote unquote equality of all men before the law and prohibited racial discrimination in public places, is overturned. Civil Rights Act of 1875, equality for everybody before the law. Don't be racist in public places, restaurants. Overturned by the Supreme Court. Listen to this, 8-1 vote. One lone soul was like, hey, that's not right. 8-1 vote. It's unconstitutional. That's important in 90 years. 28, 1881, Spelman became the first college for black women. I hope you understand why there's like, historically black colleges and universities, HBCUs now, all right? The African Dodger. This is around the same time as the African Dodger, a.k.a. Hit the Nigger Baby, a.k.a. Hit the Coon, is introduced at carnivals and fairs. This game, we actually still play it today, however, with a little twist. But this game is when white customers were throwing baseballs at actual live black people. They would hide behind a jungle-type artistic sheet. They would stick their face in a hole, and black or white people would pay 10 cents a ball, or three balls for 10 cents, excuse me, and they would throw it at live black people. There have been reports also of using babies as well. So this was a main attraction that was in newspapers, that was cited, saying, hey, come see our animals, come see our magic shows, and come play the African Dodger. Another game we also play still today, we call it the Dunk Tank. However, back in the day, it was called the African Dip, where black men would sit on a metal ledge. You would throw a baseball at the target, and that black man would fall in a lake or a pool of water. Things they don't tell you. Sorry if I ruined the fair or the carnival, but it's coronavirus. We ain't got one going on for a while anyway. 1890. Hold on real quick. The African Dodger, it went on from the 1800s to the 1950s, by the way. Yeah, all that. 1890. States legalize voter rights discrimination. Now you must own property and be able to read to vote. But hold on. Remember, owning land and reading was illegal. So that's relevant 75 years later, and it's still relevant today. As we just talked about, 6 years later, the Supreme Court said, hey, black people, you guys are separate, but you're equal. Yeah, that's in Plessy versus Ferguson. Number 30, 1905, James Weldon Johnson wrote Lift Every Voice and Sing, which became the official Negro national anthem, because the first national anthem was written for somebody else. That same year, O.W. Gurley bought a large area of land, which became the future home of Black Wall Street. But give me some time on that. Number 31, 1909, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or for short, the NAACP, is founded by W.E.B. Du Bois, Ida B. Wells, Mary White Covington, and Moorfield Story, because of the 30 things we've already talked about so far. Number 32, 1917 to 1919. 2 years earlier, D.W. Griffith's film, Birth of a Nation, not the Nat Turner version that we had this year, but the really racist version from back in the day, incites racism by the KKK and is the first film ever to be shown at the White House. The U.S. enters World War I. 370,000 blacks enlisted fighting for freedom? After the war, hundreds of black men in the South were killed by white supremacists, known as the Red Summer of 1919. Racially restrictive covenants were created. This is when property owners could ban house sales to blacks. So they pick and chose different racial groups that they wanted to sell house sales to. Those were called racially restrictive covenants. Those were created. So property owners actually got to select which racial groups that they wanted in. Obviously, black people were banned from house sales. So now you begin to create these enclaves or these neighborhoods specifically for white people. The name changed later on. However, the idea stays the same. So give me some time on that. Number 33, 1920s, the Harlem Renaissance pushes black story, black music, black culture. Really big out of the North, out of the industrialized North, obviously New York area. In 1921, Black Wall Street in the Greenwood District of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is bombed and burned by white citizens that lived across the railroad tracks and the National Guard. The Great Depression strikes in 1929, which is super relevant in regards to who got help and who didn't, especially in the housing sense. Number 34, this is where people say, oh, you just need to pull yourself by your own bootstraps and forget how the government helped them out tremendously and encouraged them tremendously to get land really, 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 really cheap and suburbs. I'm getting ahead of myself. But you didn't really pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. The government helped a lot during this time, especially, and that's what's called socialism. But we don't want to talk about that. Not here for that. Number 34, 1932 to 1935. Here's a doozy that nobody ever told you about. The Tuskegee syphilis experiments. 399 blacks were observed for 40 years and never told that they had syphilis and were never given a cure. That's the kind of stuff they do to you when you're not considered a human. The Federal Housing Administration was created. So, if you remember the racially restrictive covenants, of course you just remember it because we talked about it 2 points ago. Well, the Federal Housing Administration continued that. Redlining, housing discrimination, and mortgage lending began in 200 plus cities. And the first public housing project, Techwood Homes, opened in Atlanta in 1935. This is relevant 88 years from now. Number 35, 1939 to 1945, the U.S. enters World War II. Over 1 million blacks were drafted and still fighting for freedom. Black vets came home to no GI bills, no bank loans, no VA housing privileges. 99% went to white soldiers, which automatically started what was called the white flight, and still no wealth or housing for black people. Number 36, the 1950s, the Cold War against Russia. The very first question that was asked by India, by Indian representative to Justice William Douglas when he traveled over to India, the very first question that was asked of him, why does America tolerate the lynching of Negroes? This is when the U.S. started to realize that it was looking pretty shitty on the international stage. How do you go about and talk about democracy and freedom for other people, and there are black people in your country that are being lynched, killed, murdered, and denied civil rights? Well, that kind of pushed some things, didn't it? The government encourages white purchase outside the city. That's how you get your suburbs. That's when suburbs were created, so white flight continues. And poor blacks with no homes working quote-unquote good factory jobs is still a thing. However, watch what happens in 20 years. Number 37, 1954. 17 states required racial segregation in schools. Four of those states, it was optional. Until the Brown versus Board of Education in Topeka, Kansas. 89 years later, segregation in public schools is finally unconstitutional. Kinda. Because black schools were inferior across the board. Poor red line neighborhoods equals poor red line schools, which is still a thing today. But unfortunately, this law changes in 36 years. Number 38, 1955, Emmett Till. Goddamn. Emmett Till is brutally murdered by two white men who they boasted about the murder for whistling to a white woman. If you don't know the story, look it up. Two white men who boasted about the murder were acquitted, dropped of all charges, not guilty by an all-white jury, even though they boasted about it and everybody knew about it in town. And actually, a couple years ago, the white lady who was allegedly whistled to actually came out and lied. She actually came out and said that it's not how it happened at all. She said that on her deathbed. Go figure. Civil rights protests officially began because of the Emmett Till death. The mother, Mamie Till, had an open casket. She wanted everybody to see. She wanted him to stand as a symbol. She wanted everybody to see what racism, how ugly and discrimination it could be. Terrible tragedy. Look it up if you don't know the story. Relevant, completely relevant to why every single protest still happens today. Number 39, 1956. Your second favorite, February icon Rosa Parks is arrested, which kicks off the Montgomery bus boycott. J. Edgar Hoover creates the secret counterintelligence program called the COINTELPRO, which is an acronym for counterintelligence program. The goal of the group, it was so secret that the FBI didn't even know about it. It was only a very close-knit group of people. And side note, J. Edgar Hoover wore fishnet stockings and he had a gay relationship with an Asian man, but that's besides the point. The goal of the group, to maintain the white U.S. status quo in America and to kill, silence, and destroy any and all protest movements, which included student movements led by white people. It didn't matter who. If you were leading a protest, you were on the hit list. And it also included the quote-unquote black messiahs, We'll get into two of those messiahs in a bit. Number 40, 1960. Greensboro Four sit down in a peaceful protest at a Woolworth. Protest works. Loosely, but it works. Months later, they can now eat at the same counter. But you should look at the pictures of what the kind of hell they went through. My goodness. Police militarization increases due to racial protests. Riot and SWAT teams were created as a result. This is relevant again in 40 years, by the way. 41, 1963. We're almost done. Thank you for rocking with me. President JFK and civil rights activist Medgar Evers are both assassinated. Dr. Martin Luther King has a dream just 1 month before four young black girls were bombed and killed while getting dressed at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Two of the five white men involved were convicted 38 years later in 2001. Yes, 38 years later. Number 42, 1964. Fannie Lou Hamer gave one of the greatest speeches ever to Congress. New President LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson, signs the Civil Rights Act of 1964. We're getting close to some freedom, y'all. Civil Rights Act of 1964, which reverses the 1875 Supreme Court decision and prohibits discrimination of all kind. At the same time, civil rights activists James Chaney, Michael Schwerner, and Andrew Goodman are killed by police and the KKK. There's a movie about that called Mississippi Burning. The police are now actively, now they have been, now we know, police have actively been involved in the suppression of civil rights and black people and directly connected with the Klan. This is super relevant to black and cop relations. Number 43, these things don't happen just in a vacuum, people. Black people just don't dislike police for no reason. There's a long history that's trailed with this. Number 43, 1965. Malcolm X is assassinated inside the Audubon Ballroom in New York. The Nation of Islam is blamed, charged. A couple men are arrested, but COINTELPRO. MLK marches 54 miles to Selma, from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. LBJ signs a second act, the Civil Rights Act of 1965, so blacks can vote. Finally, blacks are human and citizens. Look at that. Look at the progress, guys. Only from 1619. Look at the progress made. Number 44, 1966. The Black Panther Party for Self-Defense is founded in Oakland by Huey Newton and Bobby Seale to protect against police brutality and violence. The very next year, I heard a comedian say once, if you want to change gun laws in this country, you should let every single black person buy a weapon. The very next year, the Mulford Act outlawed the public carrying of firearms in California, which was passed by then Governor Ronald Reagan. Before in California, you could walk around with rifles all day long, completely legal. And then the Black Panthers showed up to the state capitol with all kind of weaponry to protest against police brutality. And that is what kicked off the Mulford Act. They said, hell no, there is no way in hell that all these black men are about to have rifles around me. Guess what? The Mulford Act got passed, aka the Panther Bill. That next year, the Supreme Court introduced something that is hot on the table right now. 1967, they introduced qualified immunity to protect officers from frivolous lawsuits, quote unquote. This is super relevant. Super. For the next 53 years. Number 45, 1968. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is assassinated while standing on his balcony at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. James Earl Ray is named as a shooter, but COINTELPRO. 200 cities riot in protest for 53 days. FBI documents about the shooting and the investigation are classified until 2027. 2027, by the way. Tommy Smith and Juan Carlos raise a black fist at the Mexico Summer Olympics. LBJ signs the Fair Housing Act because of all the negative shit going on about redlining and housing discrimination. So he had to sign an actual Fair Housing Act to say you can't prohibit black people from buying homes. You can't increase mortgage lending. You cannot increase loans and rates for black people or any minority. We had to actually do a law for that, an act, in 1968. After 349 years, black people can finally vote, they can finally buy a house, and they can be a citizen with protection from the government for the first time after 349 years. I need you to realize that was only 52 years ago from today. From today. I need you to realize that. So history, all this, that was a long time ago. 52 years ago. That's your grandma's age. That's your mom's age at this point. Some of our age. Number 46, 1969. Jimi Hendrix opened up at Woodstock while Black Panther deputy Fred Hampton was being assassinated in Chicago. Number 47, 1970s, the boom of technology, globalization, and outsourcing of those really good quote-unquote factory jobs increases black unemployment by 70%. 70%. That means low education, no job opportunities, poor public housing environments leaves the door wide open for crime and drugs. At the same time, Shirley Chisholm became the first woman and the first black woman, to receive the Democrat presidential nomination to run for president. That's super dope. Good news on that end. Number 48, 1971, Congressional Black Caucus is established in D.C. to advocate on behalf of black people. Richard Nixon's war on drugs begins for the next 40 years. Police presence in inner cities increased significantly. Arrest rates soared and targeted black men. Mass incarceration begins once again. Remember the old convict leasing system, ding, ding, ding. And this is also the year, 1971, that Hoover's COINTELPRO reportedly ends. The whole world found out about it and they just knew. I knew that the government was getting my ass. And they finally had their proof in 1971. 2 years later, Mr. Martin Cooper invents the first mobile cell phone. Sounds really random, but that's super relevant for later. 49, 1978. The Supreme Court rules in the University of California Regents versus Bakke that affirmative action can be used as a legal strategy to deal with past discrimination because of the 48 other things listed that we just talked about. Number 50, we got 10 left, y'all. Hold tight. Number 50, 1980s, Ronald Reagan continues the war on drugs. I'm putting that in quotes, by the way. Drug arrests are up 126%. Harsh mandatory minimum sentencing, still heavy police presence. The Corrections Corporation of America is founded, and prisoners now become Wall Street stock. The Black Panther Party ends due to, I know you're smart by now, COINTELPRO. Damn. They've been fucking up everybody. Yeah, they still lingered around. Even though it ended in the 1980s, COINTELPRO were heavily involved in the Black Panther Party and split up the group long before its official end. Long before. 51, 1985, the Contra cocaine scandal. The FBI, CIA, and U.S. State Department helped out Nicaraguan rebels, and which in turn indirectly allowed drug trafficking into the U.S., crack cocaine begins really destroying inner cities. Yes, the FX show Snowfall is based on actual events. Number 52, 1986 to 1989, George H.W. Bush runs the Willie Horton ad, instilling more fear and stereotypes about black men. This actually came back to haunt him, and it got him his election against Michael Dukakis, but it came back to haunt him in the end. And he also continued the war on drugs. He called for $1.5 billion on the drug war. Congress passed a 100-to-1 sentencing disparity for crack rock and powder cocaine. Whites used the more expensive cocaine powder. Black people used crack rock. Crack rock, you got sentenced to way more jail time. Way more jail time for crack rock than you did cocaine powder. Relevant, 24 years later, millions of prisoners later, and court rulings released this desegregation order as well. So remember that whole Brown versus Board thing? Well, there were a lot of court rulings that released those desegregation orders, and school segregation increased once again. Number 53, 1992, Bill Clinton also continued the war on drugs, militarization, and mass incarceration. I know y'all like to call him the first black president. get out of here. Just because he played the saxophone and was from the South, stop the nonsense. Please, people. Please. We're better than this. We're better. 3 million black men were imprisoned by the first black president. And Rodney King was assaulted on tape. All four cops were acquitted, which is relevant still to protest and riots. By acquitted, they got that not guilty verdict. Watts, L.A., and the country blew the hell up. Number 50. There's actually a Netflix documentary on that right now. I think it's called 1992 or L.A. 92. Anyway, number 54, 1997. The 1033, the 1033 program transferred $5.1 billion in excess military weapons to law enforcement. This includes, but is not limited to, tactical weapons, grenade launchers, and mine-resistant ambush-protected, or we like to call them MRAPs in the military, vehicles, aka the trucks used in Afghanistan and Iraq to protect U.S. soldiers from terrorist shit. That was transferred to American law enforcement departments. That's why you see all these Batmobiles and all these trucks and these tanks running around. Number 55, 2008. Hey, y'all. President Barack Obama gets in the house built by slaves. But oh, shit. He, too, continued the war on drugs and the militarization of the police in his first term. Qualified immunity also increased and applied in cases involving excessive and deadly force. Wall Street crashed and destroy the average American. The Big Short, Wall Street is, you can watch The Big Short for that. Wall Street was bailed out with billions. No one ever calls this reverse welfare or a handout for some reason. And black folks were hit the hardest again. 8 years later, the black household average net worth is $138,000 to $933,000 for white families. You got to remember, most of the millionaires are white families at this time. So obviously, that disparity is going to range. So that's going to be a huge gap. However, $138,000 for the black household average net worth in 2016, that's huge. The black, listen, this, I'm not making this shit up. Listen to this figure. By 2053, the black median wealth income is projected to be zero. Zero. That means the median average of wealth that black people have in this country is projected to be nothing by 2053. We're in 2020. A lack of home ownership and owning less valuable homes is partly to blame for that. Redlining, housing discrimination, World War II, no opportunities, no VA loans given to blacks, public housing's created, segregation, red zoning in those red areas. Like, come on, this, that's 2016. Number 56, 2009. Unemployment's still on the rise. Schools are underfunded because low property value areas, foreclosures, housing discrimination, predatory lending against black people, Asians, and Hispanics continues during a global recession. Drug use and dealing is rampant. I really hope you see history's hand in all this. Police presence in inner cities maintains. Oscar Grant is killed in Oakland on New Year's. Cops serve less than 1 year. I need you to see Fruitvale Station, and I need you to try not to cry. Just try. I don't think you can do it, but try. Number 57, 2010. 24 years and 3 million plus still prisoners later, Obama signs the Fair Sentencing Act to reduce the crack cocaine. Remember that 100 to 1, reducing that crack cocaine disparity, which was tied to the Nixon, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama's war on drugs. Prisons are still overwhelmed. Private prisons increase. More being built. Cops are still patrolling the inner city. Yes, obviously where there is crime, there are police. But the key is to understand how those inner cities got that way to begin with. Yes, I'm not making an excuse for people that make terrible ass decisions. Got it. However, there some people were put in these cages and were forced to make terrible ass decisions. Another scandal, quote unquote, kids for cash, where judges received and still some receive financial kickbacks for imposing harsh sentences and increasing private prison rates. Wells Fargo exposed for restricting, quote unquote, ghetto loans to black, quote unquote, mud people. Number 58, 2012 to 2016. This is when shit really gets heavy. Black Lives Matter movement is created after Trayvon Martin is killed by George Zimmerman. Yeah, the same guy that signs a pack of Skittles for money and fame. Black Lives Matter was then needed again and again for Eric Garner, John Crawford, Ezell Ford, Michael Brown, Tanisha Anderson, Laquan McDonald, Tamir Rice, Sandra Bland, Renisha McBride, Freddie Gray, Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, Samuel DuBose, Megan Hockaday, Ayanna Jones, Rekia Boyd, Jeremy McDowell, Walter Scott, Terrence Crutcher, Corin Gaines, etc., etc., etc. Cell phones capturing death. And when I said that, come back around. But cops are still getting not guilty verdicts. And in some cases, receiving a pay raise, like Daniel Pantaleo, who killed Eric Garner for selling loose cigarettes, the very first black man to say that I can't breathe. This is nothing new. We are all just now seeing it, thanks to Mr. Martin Cooper, the inventor of the cell phone, is now become a number one defense mechanism in the struggle for black equality in the criminal justice system. Blue Lives Matter, which isn't a thing because a cop can quit today and not and go work at UPS and nobody will look at him any different. But anyway, Blue Lives Matter was created at the same time in response. Number 59, we've got two left. Number 2016, San Francisco 49ers former quarterback Colin Kaepernick sits down on the bench during the national anthem. After speaking with Army Green Beret, I'm going to repeat that. Army Green Beret, Nate Boyer, and learning from him what kneeling represents at military funerals, Kaepernick decides to take a knee. Not in disrespect to the military, which he said numerous times in post-game speeches. Not to disrespect veterans. Not even to disrespect all police, which he said many times in post-game speeches, just in protest against the terrible, murderous ones. And he did it during the national song, which was written during slavery by a slave owner laughing at slaves. And because silently protesting 346 years of social injustice in America and police getting not guilty when brutality, violence, and murder happens is a right that every single person should understand. 59.5, I'm sneaking one in on you. The FBI data shows that 90% of black homicides are committed by black people. Before you get excited, 84% of white homicides are committed by white people. Translation, black on black crime is a distraction. It's not a thing unless white on white crime is a thing. It's what's called a red herring. That's a distraction. It takes you away from the central point of focus, which is police brutality and violence. It's intra-racial violence, which means you're more likely to be killed by the people you live around. So stop all this black-on-black crime. The FBI data also showed from 2016 that black people are three times more likely to be killed by police than white people, even though they are 1.3 times more likely to be unarmed. Translation, cop on black crime is still a thing. Stay focused. Number 60, we come to the conclusion of the 60 points connected from 1619 to 2020. 2017 to 2020, the Make America Great Again show. Donald Trump brings about the not-so-coincidental rise of racial division, white extremist and white supremacist rhetoric in the country, symbolized by Unite the Right rallies in Charlottesville. There's actually good people on both sides. And law and order speeches. When you get to looting, we start shooting. The redlining policies that we've already discussed from 88 years ago still affect 3 out of 4 black neighborhoods, which directly connects to why the coronavirus disproportionately affects black people due to red that are living in those redlined living conditions and have minimal access to health care. Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd. We've already had a long list of new names to add to this list, are all killed within a 5-month time frame. 4 black men were lynched. Lynched. Found hung from trees. And the police claimed suicide. At no point ever in the history of lynching have black people hung themselves. Just going to throw that out there. Over 20 days of protest and riots took place in every single state in America for the first time ever. The riots and protests have led to, because riots and protests seem to work, here we are, police reform, qualified immunity, and funding discussions at the city and state level, not the federal. But shout out to Colorado for being the first to lead that charge. The removal of Confederate statues and even Jesus, apparently. Black mental health Zoom calls have increased. Juneteenth finally being recognized. National blackouts. Kaepernick's new job potential. Joe Biden telling black people they ain't black. An increase in Karen's and Amy sightings. But white people also realizing that being not racist is not enough. And being anti-racist is everything. Bold and black and yellow street art all over the country. Black-owned business booms. NASCAR! NASCAR! Confederate flag withdrawals, thanks to Bubba Wallace. And somehow Beethoven being black. He is definitely not black, people. Not black, he's not black, not black. Look up his parents, please. All in an effort to ask the same question we've been asking ever since we reached the shores of Jamestown, Virginia in 1619. Do black lives finally matter? We're still pending on that. We are still pending. But hopefully the answer we are moving towards is yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Black Hour Story Podcast, Episode 2. Thank y'all for rocking with the first one, which was about Juneteenth. This one is 60 points connected from 1619 to George Floyd. I hope you all learned something. I hope you see how structural and systemic racism is a thing that's a very live and well and breathing thing that still affects so many people today. Just because you see black people that are doing well, that does not negate the things that are going on in America. Just because you visually see somebody at your job that is a boss or a manager or has a nice car or a nice home or the LeBron James and the millionaires of the world, don't ever assume that economics and financial success can ever preclude you from racism and discrimination and being actually left out of the certain benefits and equality, and especially the civil rights that are supposed to be for everyone in this country. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Marquise. Have a good one. I'm out. Thanks for listening to the Black Hour Story Podcast. Be sure to tap in on iTunes, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your listening pleasure so you don't miss future episodes. You can also tap into the Instagram page at @black_story for more black history. Until next time, black history is American history, and American history is all of us.